This may be your first semester at Southwestern. 30 years ago, it was my last. And it was a great experience. Now, I've got to tell you, Dr. Patterson, thank you for the influence that you are having on this campus. When I went to chapel 30 years ago, they were dry as toast. Folks, listen to me. I was sitting in chapel one day, and I leaned over to my friend. I said, when are they going to drag the body in? Because, folks, I'm telling you, draw a chalk line around it. It was DOA. I mean, it was awful. Not today. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, I want to share just a few words with you. I've been a few places, seen a few things, done a few things, and I want to share a message I've entitled, The Power of Forgiveness. Now, if you brought a Bible, it's in Ephesians chapter 4, and a very familiar passage of Scripture. When I think about the power of forgiveness, I want to introduce this message by using the thoughts of that great theologian, Charlie Brown. The first scene is Charlie Brown releases the pitch from the mound. Second scene, he's watching the ball fly over his head. The third frame is Lucy is standing out in center field with her hands out looking heavenward and a grimace on her face. The next scene is the ball is laying at her feet. The fifth scene, Charlie asks Lucy, how is it possible you could miss such a simple fly ball? And the final scene is this. She said, Charlie, when that ball was flying toward me, all I could think about was the balls that I missed in the past. And then she said, I think the past got in my eyes. Today, you and I have a choice. A choice not to allow the past to get in our eyes. The writer of Hebrews describes salvation in Hebrews chapter 2. He calls it so great salvation. I like how Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians when he said that you have turned from your idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for the Son from heaven who will deliver you from the wrath to come. He talks about the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense of salvation. I'm sitting on a plane a few months ago, and I don't know what it is about me, but I get witness to a whole lot. And I'm sitting there just minding my own business, and this young man, I could tell he was kind of working up his gumption to say, sir, are you saved? And I thought, well, I'm going to see what this young man may know. And I said, I'm going to be. And that's true. I have been saved. I am being saved. I'm going to be saved, justified, sanctified, glorified. The last 10 years of my life, I've been spending time writing on the doctrines of our faith. Here's one of the reasons why. As you go into your churches and your mission fields, you're going to discover that, generally speaking, Southern Baptists are biblically illiterate and theologically poorly trained. We do not know what we believe. And we're not studying the Word. Oh, we're people of the book, but we're really not studying the Word. And as I began to do this search several years ago, on the doctrines of faith, when I came to the doctrine of salvation, Dr. Patterson, I discovered no less than 18, maybe 20 different words that describe the salvation experience. When you and I invited Christ into our life, 20 different theological things happened to us instantaneously, simultaneously. For example, we've been redeemed. We've been saved. We've been regenerated. We've made righteous. We're predestined. We're eternally secure. We're saved by grace. We know the peace of God. We become people of faith. And oh, by the way, we're forgiven. I want you to listen to how Paul said it. Because he's in a jail cell, most likely chained to a Roman Praetorian guard. He's there, but he doesn't waste his time and doesn't pine for life. And honestly, I'm not sure who the prisoner is here. Because as he is writing these great prison epistles, right in the heart of this experience, he talks about forgiveness. And I want you to listen to what he says. In Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us in verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, let all that be put away from you along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, for just as God in Christ has forgiven you." As you go into ministry in the future, you're going to have an opportunity to talk about forgiveness. And I want you to understand, if you look at the term forgiveness, the word simply means to release. To release. But the fact that there needs to be forgiveness tells me there are three things that have occurred. First of all, there's been an injury. Secondly, there needs to be a debt as a result of that injury. And then thirdly, there needs to be a cancellation of that debt. So when we talk about forgiveness, I want to think about three things with you very quickly. Number one, God forgives. That's the vertical view of forgiveness. God forgives. Think about it for a moment, folks. In his goodness and in his grace, even though before man sinned, the Lamb of God, who John the Baptist said will take away the sin of the world, had already died in the mind and heart of God. He was slain before the foundation of the world. That blows my mind. That's bigger than my pay grade. I don't get it. But think about it this way, church. Think about it this way, son, daughter. Think about it this way, seminary student. Salvation is not an afterthought. It wasn't like God said, "Oh, Adam and Eve, they've messed in the nest, and oh, we've got a problem here. How can I fix this problem?" No, listen to me. God, in his wisdom and in his goodness, demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he died before the world was created. Now, when we talk about the forgiveness of God, I want to remind you of a few things. That the reason Jesus had to die for us is because there was an injury. I sinned against him. You sinned. We are human beings. We sinned against God. And there needed to be payment for that sin. And that payment for sin came as a result when Jesus died on that cruel cross at Calvary, didn't it, folks? I like the way H.G. Spafford said it. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more." When Jesus died, he died for you and for me and for all mankind. John said it this way, that he is the propitiation for our sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. You'll never meet somebody, never meet anybody in ministry for whom Jesus didn't die. You'll never meet anybody whom Jesus doesn't love. God says, "I'm going to forgive you." Now, interestingly, as you look in the text of scriptures, you'll discover that forgiveness also carries the thought that when he takes my sin, he casts it as far as the east is to the west, the psalmist tells us. Isaiah says that he bore my iniquities, and I don't have to carry those things anymore. Jeremiah tells me that he takes my sin and throws it into a sea of forgetfulness. That's what he does with our sin. Here's how Paul said it. God in Christ We're forgiven in him. It's an aorist tense verb. Once and for all, you and I are forgiven. That's good news. Now, what blows my mind as I walk, as I traveled across the country and listened to many people pray, Dr. Patterson, is this dribble that I hear people pray when they say, Lord, forgive us wherein we failed thee. You know why? They don't understand who they are in Christ. We are in him. 225 times in the New Testament, Paul's favorite phrase, in Christ, in the Lord Jesus, in him, and on it goes. Something special there. So there is this vertical view that you and I are forgiven and we can receive God's forgiveness simply by turning from our sin and placing our trust in Christ. That's what you're doing in a 2-mile radius of this campus. That's what you'll do throughout your entire ministry, is telling people about the great gift of God. But there's a horizontal view. And that is, Paul says that we are to be tenderhearted and forgiving one another. That's a present tense verb. That means I keep on forgiving, doesn't it? And so when I'm forgiving somebody else, what I'm saying is this. All right, there's a debt. You've injured me. And I'm going to release you of the debt. And I'm not worried about the payment, because the payment was made when Jesus died for us. I want you to listen to me, folks. God forgave you and me of everything. We can forgive anyone of everything if we choose to. The good news is this. When we talk about forgiving each other, we have a choice to make. And here's how Paul says it. He says, you and I, we need to forgive one another. But what happens if we turn real Baptist and we choose not to? Well, the Bible tells us several things that occur. First of all, he tells us we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. To grieve him means that we break his heart. He also tells us that we'll be guilty of having a life filled with anger. You see those words? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander. One verb carries the idea that anger is just beneath the waterline. It's seething. It's a nursing kind of thing. And that's what we do. Listen to me very carefully. If we're not careful in ministry, what will happen is we'll go from church to church or person to person or experience to experience with this seething thing inside of us. And it will eat you alive. He said, let all bitterness. First, the writer of Hebrews says, don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you. And he says, and what's that thing that's seething up inside of you? Because if you don't take care of it, it's going to explode, thumos. It's going to explode. And that thing will explode on staff members, deacons, your church during your pulpit experience or during a committee meeting. But it'll come out. It's kind of like baptizing a beach ball. It will come up eventually. It will happen because you did not handle the emotion of forgiveness. I can tell you that all of us in ministry will have had times, Dr. Patterson can tell you, Dr. Draper could tell you, your professor could tell you, I can tell you experiences where if you allow it, you can get wrapped around the axle real easy. You're going to have times in your life, it's going to come as a form of an email, it's going to come in the form of a diatribe called a letter, it'll be a phone call, it'll be, sometimes it's sent secondhand. Did you know that brother so-and-so is angry with you because of this? But it's going to come to you and you're going to face it. You're going to deal with it. I remember one time I finished at Calvary Baptist Church. I was standing there at the pastor's reception. This man walks up and he says, Dr. Powers, I need to tell you something. Yes, sir, what? He said, that's the worst sermon I ever heard in my life. Oh, thank you very much. The lady right behind him said, oh, pastor, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. Now, listen, you're going to have that emotional roller coaster experience in your life. You're going to have it. It's going to come to you. I assure you that somewhere down the line, you will have an opponent. You will have somebody who doesn't like you. You're going to have somebody because your hair is red or your name is John or whatever it might be. Something is going to go haywire and there are going to be sparks fly and you got to deal with forgiveness. We all do. That's where the Bible tells us we are to keep on forgiving. Keep on forgiving, he tells us. Then there's the third level. You know, there's the level where God forgives me. There's a level where I forgive each other. But there's a third level, and that is where we forgive ourselves. Because I'll assure you, you will make mistakes. We all do. We're human beings. You're going to leave a church, which you didn't. You're going to send an email, which you hadn't pushed send. You're going to pick up a phone and say some things you wish you hadn't done. There are going to be all kinds of experiences. Just last night at 11 o'clock at night, my friend Rick, who has one of the handles on my casket, called me. He's serving a church. And he said, I have to tell you that I still grieve over the decision I made to have an affair. I still grieve. And that experience was 10 years ago. Still beating himself up. Still paying a price. Dr. Pastor, I wish I had done this as a seminary student. But I remember one speaker who wrote down the names of those people who he went to seminary with. He wrote names in the back of his Bible of those people who washed out in ministry. They quit. They had a moral failure. They had some kind of an addiction issue or whatever else it was. I wish I had done that. But as I think about it in my mind, I can recall at least a dozen people, some of those people who served on my staff, who today are out of ministry because they didn't handle things well. And, oh, by the way, they didn't know how to forgive themselves. Give yourself a break. And recognize the fact that, oh, yes, there are things you can do in life and ministry that will cost you dearly, like my friend Rick. I got a call the other day from another dear friend named Terry. He served in the denomination. And the problem is his wife did not want to travel with him, so she divorced him. Now Terry lives in Nashville, Tennessee, in a two-bedroom apartment by himself and barely getting by. He called me the other day and he said, I am so angry because I did not choose this kind of life. Some of you may face that one day. And I said, Terry, you just need to forgive yourself. Oh, here's a guy. You talk about messing in the nest. You're looking, look it up in the dictionary, stupid. And you'll see my picture beside that. Because I have made so many mistakes. And you got to look yourself in the mirror and go, what was I thinking? I could have had a V8. What was I thinking? How could I have made that decision? Why did I leave that church? Why did I make that call? Why did I do what I did? He says, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you 225 times. Now, those of you who know me know that my pastime, my passion outside of ministry is I like to play golf. Lots of golf. My wife will tell you, too much golf. I have to tell you that I have an honor to play one of the best golf courses in the world these days. I was on the driving range getting ready to warm up, Dr. Patterson. I was having a terrible time warming up. Took my sand wedge, shanked my sand wedge. Took my driver, hit it left. Took my driver, hit it right. and what is going on? And I have this frustrating experience. I turn around and I look, and standing behind me is Bubba Watson. Now, I play left-handed, he plays left-handed. And Bubba Watson's standing here looking at me like this, and he's got this wry smile, just kind of wry looking at me. And he said, hello, my name is Bubba. I said, my name is John. He said, you're having a hard time, aren't you? I said, oh, you noticed? He said, you know, I think I can fix that. Really? Not like right now? He said, yeah. He said, here's what I want to do. Now, here it is. I'm standing on the driving range of one of the greatest golf courses in the world, and I'm looking at the master. He said, I can fix you. How? He turned me around, and if you'll feel on the top of your head, there's a zipper right here. Go ahead. Yeah, it's right there. And he unzipped me from the top of my head all the way to my heels. And he stepped inside. And he played the game. The master played the game. That's you. That's me. Where we allow the Spirit of God, the person of the Lord Jesus, to abide in us and experience the freedom to forgive. Let me personalize it for you. That's the best round of golf ever played, because the master played through me. So let's make some applications and we'll go home. Or you can go to class. I'm going home. First of all, when it comes to forgiveness, proclaim it loudly, all the time. Be in season, out of season, Paul says to Timothy and to us. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the only answer. Did you read in the paper yesterday where the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, has declared this year the year of mercy? And what it means is, for those people who are in the Catholic Church, they now can have forgiveness for their abortions. The women who've had abortions can have forgiveness for their abortions by not having to go to the Pope or to the Bishop or to the Cardinal, but to go to their local priest, making it easier to be forgiven. I got good news for you. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to go that far. Simply confess it before him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Proclaim it. Don't be afraid to proclaim it. Don't be ashamed to proclaim it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says. Secondly, you want to practice it. You're going to get plenty of chances to give it away, to release somebody. You are going to have injury in life. You cannot be immune. You're in a light box called seminary today. You're going to be out in that dirty, nasty now in the very near future. You are going to have an experience whereby you're going to have to decide, am I going to release this person or not? If you choose not to, here's what the Bible tells us. Matthew tells us, Jesus tells us the story of a guy who didn't do it, and he said, I'm going to turn him over to the tormentors. And that's what will happen. You'll be turned over, and you'll live with this regret and this stuff in your mind and your heart. Let's say a John has really ticked you off. If you don't handle it well, you'll be mad at every John for the next millennia. And the Johns behind them will have no idea why you're upset with them. You can be mad at this. A church can have give you this experience, and if you're not very careful, you can take that anger and that stuff into the next church, and you'll be mad at the next church, and they won't know why. What have we done to him? Why is he treating us like this? They didn't deserve it. They didn't create the injury, yet they pay the price. It's not right. So you got to give it away. You got to practice it on and on and on. You see, don't let the past get in your eyes. And finally, you need to personalize it. Where you look yourself in the mirror and go, you know, it's three steps forward and two steps backward. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not where I was. I'm not where I'm going to be. But I am in him. And I'm a child of God, and I'm saved by grace, and I'm a bought with a price, and I'm going to glorify God today to the best of my ability. Oh, you'll make mistakes, but it's not fatal, and the sun will come up tomorrow. And oh, by the way, you will have the opportunity to be the model for your children and for other people. To see the power of forgiveness. God bless you.